Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God. We thank God for another opportunity to come share with you the Word of God today. Praise God. Again, it's Saturday. Praise God. The 16th day of October. And again, I'm Pastor James A. Dansville, Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Declaring once again to you, to the world, that Christ is the answer to every problem we face today. It doesn't matter how complex they are. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We have only to follow the directions of God's word. Praise God. We'll see changes in our personal lives. We'll see changes also in the world around us. But praise God, I do have a word. I have a word from the Lord just for you again today. Now, this is part two here of what we already have given you, part one today. But because of engagement that Pastor has for tomorrow on Saturday, which I was due to bring this second part of this message, well, you know, I felt led of the Lord to just go ahead and do it tonight and get it out of the way. Praise God on this Friday. So look with me again at Luke's Gospel, seventh chapter, Luke's Gospel. We're going to look again at verse 36 through 38. Praise God again. Look with me. Study with me. Get your Bibles out, pen, paper, copy down the scripture. If you can't keep up, praise God, then copy those scriptures down. Later on, you can go back. Go back and kind of look them over again. And God will give you probably even more clarity than you get from this session here right now. So now, Luke 7, 36, and it reads again. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Let us pray. Father, bless you. We thank you, Lord, for this, another opportunity that you've given me that I could share with your people the precious words of our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father God, that you'll send forth your anointing right now, Lord, and anoint the speaker, anoint the hearers, Lord, that they might hear what thus saith the Lord. And Lord, in the process, they might be blessed, enlightened, encouraged, and might draw closer unto you. And Lord God, I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory, honor. In the honor, Lord, is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And again, we're going to use this same subject that we used in part one. The same subject here in part two, paying our debt. We paying our debt of love to the Lord. We have a love debt that is due, overdue right now. Praise God, and God is calling for payment today from each and every soul that lives on the face of this earth. Now, like I said again, this is part two now. We were going to save this part two until on Saturday, but because of an engagement that I have for tomorrow, we want to go ahead and do it tonight. Go ahead and do it tonight, praise God. But now, I do encourage you, though, to go back and listen to part one. I wouldn't want you to listen to part two first and then miss part one because the messages come together there. Praise God. So now listen to part one. Get the full picture of what the Lord is saying through me and that he's speaking directly to you. Praise God in these scriptures that he's given me here today. But now, by way of introduction, very short introduction now, I will only say that Jesus here, he's teaching us a very valuable lesson here. Praise God. On how true love for him. Praise God. How true love for the Lord will react in hostile situations. And just how much, praise God, he's also teaching us how much we're indebted to him. Praise God. For the love and the forgiveness that he has made available to us. Praise God. We owe the Lord so much. Now, in this study here, the main characters is a former prostitute, a woman who was a lady of the night. Praise God. And then, on the other hand, we got this self-righteous religious Pharisee, who supposedly is a Bible scholar, so to speak. Amen. But now, He looked upon this woman as being pure garbage. While Jesus looked upon her, or Jesus saw her as being a redeemed sinner, now a child of the Almighty God. So now, without much, a whole lot of preliminaries, and let's go to the verse that we left off now. We left off earlier today, early this morning, matter of fact. Let's go to that verse and look at Luke 7 and 40. Now, that's where we left off here. Luke 7 and 40 is where we left off this morning. So let's get back into it again here. Luke 7 and 40. It says, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon," this is the Pharisee now, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." And he said, "Master, say on." And in the previous verse now, that verse 39, Simon, praise God, this self-righteous Pharisee, he had dismissed Christ altogether as being a prophet of God. He said he's no prophet because he thought that Christ was unaware of the background of this woman. Praise God. Praise God. This woman who'd have crashed his dinner party here. Praise God. So now Christ, praise God, being omniscient, all-knowing, being God in the flesh, he has already, praise God, he's already read this guy's mind and his heart. And now, by way of a parable, Christ is fixing to give us, he's going to give us a parable. Praise God. He proceeds with this parable to teach him. He wants to teach Simon, and not just Simon, God's teaching us. He's teaching all of us, all mankind. He's teaching us a very valuable lesson on love and forgiveness. Amen. And also the love debt. He teaches about the love debt that we owe unto him. Praise God. Now, let us remember now a parable. What is a parable now? Christ is going to teach a lesson here to this self-righteous Pharisee, which is a image of a mirror image of a lot of people in the church today. Praise God. Yes, it is. But by way of this parable, Christ is going to he's going to teach a very valuable lesson. And a parable is only it's an earthly story, more or less, an earthly story that has a very important spiritual message, kind of like hidden in it in a way. Okay, now, but now Luke 7:41. Let's go a little further. Look at Luke 7:41 now. Simon says, "Lord, say on." That's what he said in verse 40. "Go ahead, Lord, tell me what you want to tell me here." So here's the parable that Christ gives to Simon and to all of us. Praise God. Luke 7:41. He says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other owed 50 pence. Now, in this parable here, Jesus talks about a money lender that had two people that were very much indebted to him. And the amount they owed were very, very, very different. But now, for sake of clarity, let's just say this. Let's say that one of them owed $500. And the other one owed $50. In other words, one owed the money lender 10 times as much as the other one. Yes? Now, in this parable, Christ is a picture of the money lender here. And two debtors represents, I guess you could call it maybe big sinners and little sinners. Amen, so to speak. Now, look at the next verse now. We're going to 42, Luke 7:42. And it says here that when they had nothing to pay, the creditor frankly forgave them both. And the question Christ asks here next is, "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Which of him will love him most? That's the question Christ asks here. Now, according to this verse, again, they both were unable to pay the debt. Keep that in mind. They had no money. Praise God. So the money lender, the lender here, graciously forgave them both. Both of them were forgiven. Both received grace from the lender. Praise God. And so it is with us today, each of us today. Christ sees no big sinners, and in his eyesight, there's no little sinners. We all have sinned. We all are sinners. Amen. And we are all indebted to the Lord. But now, our debt is paid in full if and when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? Look at Romans 8 there. Romans 8, and we'll look at 32. Romans 8 and 32, it says that he that spared not his own son. That's what Paul says here. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Very key. All things. Freely. Freely. Ephesians 4, 32. Paul again. Ephesians 4 and 32. Paul says there, be ye kind one toward another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. Praise God. In that Colossians 3, go there. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 13. Paul again says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. Now, Christ is a picture of the money lender. Christ is also, he's our sin bearer. Amen. And he has offered forgiveness to every sinner today. Every sinner. Praise God. When really none of us deserve it now. None of us deserve his forgiveness. Praise God. But now in his own body, his own perfect body, that perfect body, in his own perfect blood that he shed, he paid our debt at Calvary. Christ paid the debt. He took the same, and it takes the same amount of blood, praise God, to atone for a little sinner as it does for a big sinner. Amen? Praise God. Amen. The same, let me say it again. It takes that same amount of blood, the blood of Christ, to make atonement for the little sinner as it does for the big sinner. Amen. But now, for the prostitute, also for the proud bougies that fills our churches today, they both had nothing to pay. For the prostitute and for Simon, and they had nothing to pay, right? No perfect blood to offer. They had no perfect blood to offer for their sins. Some people, you know, today, and a lot of people today, I sympathize with them when I talk to them, and they say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, actually, they're bragging about what they never have done in this life. I never drank alcohol, Pastor. Not mean. I never smoked cigarettes. I never took any dope, Pastor. I never committed any fornication. I never committed adultery. I never lied. I never cheated. I never steal. Praise God. And, you know, oh, that's good. Praise God. I compliment you for such an impeccable lifestyle. Oh, that's good. But still, now, in the sight of God, watch it now, in the sight of God, you still a $500 sinner. Yes, you are. You have nothing to pay. You have nothing to pay. Although you classify yourself or you see yourself as being a $50 sinner. Well, in the sight of God, you're a $500. There's no difference between you, the prostitute, and Simon here. That's no different. That's no different between you that have lived a pretty, a more clean life and those who've been out there in that deep water out there. It's no different in God's sight. So now, you might as well stop saying that you are a good person. You know, I'm a good person. Please don't say that. Huh? The Bible says there's none good but the Father. Hmm? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It only takes a drop of sin. Hmm? To put you in the sight of God as being a $500 sinner. Amen? Okay then. Well, now let's go back to Luke 7 again. We'll go back to Luke 7. Now we're going to move on down to verse 43. Luke 7 and 43. And Simon, it says here, Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most, and Christ said, thou hast rightly judged. You told the truth, Simon. Huh? Now, in that last part of 42, if you back up a little bit, you see, we saw where Christ asked Simon a question, didn't he? He said, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Hmm? Which of the one that was forgiven going to love the most? That's what Christ asked him. And that is seeing that he forgave them both. Now, we can sense the hesitation here in this here verse 43 of Simon's answer to that question there. Praise God. A little hesitation, a little bit of reluctancy here. But now Simon said, I suppose. That means he assumed, I think the one that's forgiven the most. To which Jesus replied, brother, you have answered rightly. Praise God, you answered rightly. Now, here's a great lesson for us here. Great lesson for all all of us, and especially those, the bougies in the church today, dignified church folks, you know, don't you ever, please don't ever try, don't ever attempt to criticize a child of God. Praise God. When he or she, you know, they're giving praise to the Lord. Don't go there. You know, the song says, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know. You don't know. So don't go in there. Don't go criticizing now. Psalms 22:3, if you remember that one, it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praises of Israel. You see, God lives in our praises. God looks forward to our praising him. Praise God. Yes, he do. You don't want to block me. You don't want to block me. I do a lot of praising God. It's spontaneous. It's not practiced. It's not fictitious. It's not put on. It's just a natural outflow coming from my heart. But now, a good example of God's policy here about praise is found in Luke 19. Look there with me. Luke 19. We're going to look at verse 37 there. Luke 19:37. Let's pull it up here. There it is. And when he was come nigh, it said, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, talking about Christ now, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen. Praise God, that they had seen. I mean, the people had seen. Look at 38. They were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Look at verse 39 there now. And they said, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to stop. Tell them they're keeping up too much noise. Tell them they're acting like heathens. Look at verse 40. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the rocks gonna immediately, the stones of rocks, they're gonna cry out. Praise God. And all I'm saying is, I don't need no rocks crying out for me. Praise God. I can tell the Lord how thankful I am. I don't need him to animate the rocks. Praise God. I can speak for myself. Amen. Scripture says he is of age. He can speak for himself. But now, if you look at 2 Samuel, though, look at 2 Samuel. I'm going to give you another prime example. God lives in the praises of the people. God enjoys it when we praise him, especially when it's from the heart. It's spontaneous. It's not fictitious. It's not made up. It just automatically comes out of us. Look at 2 Samuel 6:14. Look at the 14th verse first now. 14th verse first. And it says there, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Now right there, let's remember now, the Philistines took the ark captive. They took it from Jerusalem when they came in and sacked the city. They took the precious ark to the Philistines' headquarters there. Now when they brought it back, we know that something happened. One of the brothers tried to keep that ark from falling off the cart, and God killed that brother. And therefore, David was confused, and he left that cart right there at Obed-Edom. I forget his name now. Well, he left it at another gentleman's house there and stayed there for a long time. But now it's coming back home. Here it is. Let's do it again. 6:14, 2 Samuel. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Oh, come on, Michal. Come on, little David, play on your harp. Play on your harp, little David. Okay, but look at, go down to 20 now. Go down to 20. Then David returned to bless his household after he's gotten through, brought the ark back into the temple. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, now she's going to get real nasty here. She said, how glorious was the king of Israel today in the eyes of all these handmaids, all your handmaids and your servants. You act like one of the vain fellows, one of these old roughnecks, alley folks. It's what you act. Shamelessly, you uncovered yourself. David danced out his clothes. I'm talking about when you're praising God. Oh, y'all, somebody know what I'm talking about. When you truly praising God, when you got something to be thankful for, praise God. Oh, boy, David danced out his clothes. But now go to 21. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord, honey, who chose me. Praise God. Ain't you glad God chose you? Ain't you glad that God chose you? God chose me. But he said, "Who God chose me before thy father, before he chose your father Saul. God chose me. And before all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. David said, I'm going to dance. I'm going to play my music. I'm going to shout hallelujah. Praise God. It was spontaneous. It was from his heart. Amen. Look at verse 22 there. And then David said, and I will be yet more vile than this. He said, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. You think I'm acting like a heathen out here. Praise God. You don't know what God has done for me. Praise God. David said, I will be based in my own sight. And of the handmaid servant that you said here, that of them shall I be had in honor. Praise God. David said, they're going to honor me. They're going to honor me. You say they're going to look upon me in the ill fashion, but no, they're going to honor me. God's going to make sure they honor me. But look at 23. Look at 23. Therefore, the daughter of Saul, Michael, had no children until the day of her death. What was her problem? Well, she was bougie, like a lot of you church folks are, you know. Praise God, you think, when I praise God, sometimes people say, man, you know, it don't take all that. They ain't Sunday. What's Sunday got to do with it? Praise God, what Sunday got to do with my salvation? Praise God, God saved me, delivered me. Praise God, I'm happy every day. I don't have that kind of religion that don't work till on Sunday. Praise God, this thing worked every day in my life. Praise God, but God shut her up her womb. So she could not, the curse came upon her. She tried to stop a child of God from giving praise to the Lord. See, Michael had the audacity to tamper with God's anointed, God's chosen one, stopping him from giving praise to the name of the Lord. What a mistake she made. Just like the Pharisee here in this parable here. Praise God. Just like this Pharisee here. Praise God. Like Michael, like many church folks today. Bougies in the church today. Praise God. I know you got a quiet congregation. Y'all like to sit quietly. You don't say amen. Don't say thank you, Lord. Don't raise your hand. Well, if that's your preference, then go ahead on. But don't you bother me. Please, don't you bother me. Praise God. But now, you know, just because you feel that you are a $50 sinner, that's what you feel you are, and you only love the Lord just a little bit, that you think that me, myself, because I'm a $500 sinner, just praise God, you think I ought to quit, ought to be quiet, don't you? You think I ought to be quiet. You think I ought to be dignified. But I got news for you. It ain't fixing to happen. Praise God, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? But now, many who listen to this broadcast, here, I'm sure that some of you are a little irate, maybe with me, uneasy with me, because yes, I do give, like I say, I give a lot of praise to the Lord. I say praise the Lord. I say praise God over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And a lot of you religious folks, you know, $50 sinners, you know, you can't get a hold of that. I understand what I'm saying, you know. But now, like this former prostitute here that we're talking about here today, you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. He turned her life around. Praise God. He turned her life around. He delivered her from that spirit, that whoremongering spirit, that spirit of immorality. And she was so grateful to the Lord for what he had done for her. Praise God. But now, bottom line is just this here. Bottom line, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself criticizing me. If you don't understand me, then just say, Lord, help him. Help him, Lord. Help me to do it more, okay? Praise God. See, if you don't understand what I'm doing, you just need to hold your peace. That's all, just hold your peace. Amen? Now, come on, let me get back. I don't ramble a little bit. Let's go back to Luke 6 again, and we're going to look at that 44th verse. We got to go all the way down to 50 here. Look at 44 now. Luke 6, 44. It said, and he, Christ, turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Simon, do you see this woman here? Look what Jesus said to him. I entered into thine house, thou gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Simon, you gave me no kiss, but the woman since the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. Verse 46 there. He said, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Now, the real reason, and we know the real reason Simon invited the Lord into his house is being revealed right here. The real reason. See, all of the common courtesies that were given to a guest in a home in those days, they were completely omitted by Simon. Gave him no water. praise God, to wash his feet, dusty feet, sandals, no paved roads during that time, gave him no water. It was custom to do that. She didn't greet him with a kiss. She usually gave the brother a kiss on the cheek. He wouldn't kiss him. No anointing of his head with that cheap oil, that olive oil, that they use. See now, but all these things were commonly afforded to all the guests that enter a home during that period. But now Simon only invited the Lord there to entrap him. Yes, he did. Entrap him in his words. Huh? But that didn't work, though. Praise God. Christ knew. He knew this. He knew this before he entered into the man's house. But now, by his Spirit, though, by his Holy Spirit, he had summoned this woman to come. He told her to come and help him teach these dignified, religious people. I'm talking about these $50 sinners. How we $500 sinners, how we owe a debt of love to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And God, the Lord called her to come and help him to do that, to display her love, show her love, show how a $500 sinner loved the Lord. Show her gratitude for his gracious forgiveness that he's given her. Praise God. She didn't just wash his feet, brother and sister. Let me tell you something. She kissed. Hallelujah. She kissed his feet. Wouldn't you like to do that, brother? Wouldn't you like to kiss the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, she didn't just use that cheap olive oil, which was plenty during that time, to anoint his head. Huh? She used that expensive perfume. She brought it in an alabaster box, that expensive stuff, and she anointed him. Praise God. It wasn't no shame in her game. She wasn't ashamed of the Lord. Amen. She gave him her best. She gave him her best gift. Her best expressions of humility, her best expressions of love, which he had first of all given to her. Amen. Now, let's go on down. Let's go to Luke 7 now. Come on, stay with me a minute. I'm just about through. Let's go to Luke 7, 47. We got to go to 50 now. Luke 7, 47. Let's read that. What it says there. He says, "Wherefore I say unto thee," the Lord talking to Simon now, this $50 sinner here, "her sins, which are many, are forgiven her." That was Jesus said. "For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Oh, praise God. Now, notice this important fact, brothers. Notice this important fact here, right here in this verse. The Lord here is not saying that Simon loved Jesus a little, $50 worth. No, he wouldn't say that. No. As a matter of fact, Simon didn't love Christ at all. He did not even respect Jesus. He did nothing for him as far as showing common courtesy to him as a guest in his home. He only invited him to dinner to find fault in him. Praise God. To find fault. So they could have a legitimate reason to kill him. Actually, he didn't know that they didn't need a reason to kill him. He came to die. Hallelujah. He came to die. Praise God. But they didn't know that. Now, again, let us be very clear. I want to be very clear about another very important fact here, and that is that it was not this woman's actions, the anointing of him, the kissing of him. It was none of these actions that brought her salvation and forgiveness. She didn't get salvation because of that. She didn't get forgiveness because of that, but quite the contrary. Oh, yeah. Her actions showed that she was already forgiven. Yes. Before she arrived at the house, she had already had an encounter with the Almighty God. Christ had already touched her. Praise God. Her actions showed that she was already forgiven. Praise God. And she did what she did not to be saved, but out of love. Because she was already saved. That's why she did it. Amen. But now look at Luke 7:48. Come on, let's move on down a little bit further. "And he said unto her," Jesus said unto this woman here, "thy sins are forgiven." Thy sins are forgiven. Oh, praise God. Now, what Jesus is saying here to the woman is, your sins have been forgiven already. Describing action completed in the past. Something that was already done. Actions that were already done. They're already forgiven. her outpouring of love in the midst of this God-hating crowd of bougies is a sign of one whose life had been transformed. She had already been forgiven. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Anybody know what forgiven, what it means to be forgiven? Huh? Well, I tell you what, us $500 sinners, we know. We know. Oh, you $50 sinners, you don't understand at all. But now look at Luke 7:49. Praise God. Let's wind him up here. Luke 7:49. And it reads, "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? Who is this man that called himself forgiving sin?" Now, here we see the response. This is the response of Simon's bougie comrades here. Their theology was, you know, that what they believed is that only God could forgive sins. Praise God, and they were right. They were right. Which meant that in their very presence right now, at that moment, in a human body, was God in the flesh. That was God. Oh, praise God. 1 Timothy, look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Listen to Paul here. Paul says, 1 Timothy 3:16, "For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Christ was God. God came down and manifest himself in the flesh. I know that kind of puzzles you, a lot of people. Because you say, the kid asked me a question one time, said, if God came down in the flesh, praise God, who's minding the store now? Praise God, who's in charge? Who's in charge of the place now if God done come down in the flesh? A good question, kid. Good question. Well, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. God is in everything. God is everywhere. Amen. But now, this knowledge of who Christ is comes only through personal revelation. You can only know who Christ is through personal revelation, a personal visitation. You have to have that. Look at Matthew 16:16. Praise God. And it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ had asked him a question. "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, Lord. You are the Son of the living God." Look what Jesus said to him in that 17th verse of Matthew 16. What did Christ say? "And Jesus answered and said unto him, You are blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah," or son of Jonah, Bar-Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. He has showed you who I am." And that is how Peter came to know Christ. Praise God. To know Christ. To know that he was God. Praise God. And the woman also in our lesson. That's the way she came to know that Christ was more than a man. That he was God. And myself as well. Praise God. As is every true believer. Every true believer in Jesus Christ. By way of a special revelation. Praise God. A special revelation. For a special need group of $500 sinners. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm so glad I was in that crowd. Praise God. Not glad about the sin that I committed, but I'm glad that God gave favor to those $500 sinners. Praise God. They showed remorse, some kind of remorse for their sins. Oh, boy. Let's go down and finish up now. Luke 7:50. Verse number 50. What verse 50 says? Praise God. I found a verse. And it says, "And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Your faith, woman, has saved you. You go in peace. See, now, let's make this very plain here. We're not saved. We're not saved by performing good works. Be clear with this now. I tell you the truth. A lot of pastors won't tell you this. You're not saved because you just go to church. You're not saved because you sing in a choir or you serve in some other capacities or the activities in the church. You're out in the community doing community service and doing this and doing that. You're not saved by any of that. Our good works are not the cause of our salvation. Nor worse hers, this woman here. But our good works, they are the results of our salvation. Praise God. We're saved by faith alone. Faith alone, Christ alone, faith alone, amen. It is his faith his faith, his salvation, that he deposits into our soul. Like this prostitute now turned to a saint of God in love. Praise God, we give it back to him. She was paying her debt, a love to the Lord. She was paying her debt, praise God. And when we praise God, when we worship God, when we serve God, praise God, when we're not ashamed in this God-forsaken world we live in today, praise God, we honor the Lord. Amen. But that last words, he said to her, go in peace. You go in peace, woman. Go in peace. That's exactly what he said to me 49 years ago. 49 years ago, when my heart was troubled, when I was in deep water sinking to rise no more, the song says. Oh, love lifted me. The Lord lifted me up. He told me to go in peace. And praise God, for 49 years, praise God, I've been savoring that peace. Right now, savoring that peace. I still have my peace today. I still have my joy today. Praise God. I have that peace that passed all understanding. A peace that the world didn't give to me, can't give to me, and they can't take it away. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Praise God. No situations. Oh, it don't matter what is happening all around me. Oh, I'm solid as a rock. My peace, my peace, my peace is in Jesus Christ alone. And you can't take it away from me. Amen. Romans 5:1, what it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you today, as we close out this second part, this message here, do you have this peace today? Look at me now. Be honest. Do you have this peace today, unshakable, in the midst of this COVID thing going on here? People in fear everywhere. Do you have this peace that you are in the arms of God? And nothing can touch me unless God allow it to come. Praise God. But either way, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him when I'm up. I'm going to praise him when I'm down. I'm going to praise him when I have much. I'm going to praise him when I don't have anything at all. I'm going to praise him when I'm well. I'm going to praise him when I'm sick. Oh, and he knows that. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Do you have that peace now? You can today. You can. If we close, you can. Praise God. You can lay down your burdens today, right now. You that are burdened right now, you can lay them down. Lay them down at his feet, at his beautiful feet, the same feet that this woman anointed and kissed. Lay your burden down at his feet. Praise God. Just repent today. Repent of your sins. Cry out to the Lord. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to help you. Praise God. He said he would. I will in no wise. He's coming to me. I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Praise God. He's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load carrier. All you got to do is cast your cares upon him today. Praise God. And he will. He will honor his word today. He'll come. He'll reveal himself to you. Praise God. And like this woman, praise God, you will continue all of your life to pay your debt. Debt of love that you owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, bless you today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you've given me to share your word over these airwaves here. Now, Lord, I pray the spirit anointing right now. Lord, move upon that soul that's listening to you right now. Lord, you speak to them. You said you'll make them willing in the day of your power. You'll give them the will and the power to do of your good will. Lord, touch that soul right now that's so far away from you right now. Lord God, give them peace, give them joy. We ask it all in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, brother. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. If you like this video, hit the like button. Hit the like button. And then go over and hit that subscribe button. And when I come again, you will get a notification. And praise God, I do believe that if God allowed me to see another day, that he'll give me another word. I'll come back again, and I'll give you another word from the Lord. Amen? But remember now, we'll own also YouTube here, not just YouTube, but we'll own Facebook also, James Dansby, Facebook. And also, we are on Sermon Audio. That's where the bulk of our podcasts are, almost 500 or so, because we've been there on there for years. Sermon Audio, James Dansby, and you can, all of our different ministers, we got three or four ministers there in our congregation there, and we all take turns to preach. Pastor don't preach every Sunday. I mostly preach on Communion Sunday, and I give these other brothers a chance to minister the Word of God and use this outlet here, praise God, to reach people. So, praise God. God bless you. Until we come again, My prayer is God will abundantly bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Praise God and bless his holy name. Amen. Praise God.